Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Carl Felt is brought to you in partnership with Speak Studios and Speak Boise. Speak Boise is a community-driven studio space where voices from all walks of life can speak and be heard. You can find them on Instagram and Facebook at Speak Studios, Speak Boise, and at their website, speakstudios.com. Speak Studios, speak and be heard.
This podcast is also brought to you by Instant Imprints. Promote better with Instant Imprints. Instant Imprints are Boise's visual communications experts and your place for everything you need to promote your business, club, school, or group. As a locally owned business, Instant Prints specializes in making your organization more visible with custom branded apparel, embroidery, promotional items, print services, and a wide format printing for signs, as well as banners and vehicle graphics. Want better ways to get noticed? Visit Instant Prints at instantprints.com/Boise or call 200-IMPRINTS, that's 208-467-7468. Welcome back to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Carl Felt. I am so excited about the show that we have ahead of us. We have some phenomenal information that could save lives. I am Dr. Michael Carl Felt, and with me I have my co-host,
Tanya Hobel.
You're going to need to tune in to what's going on today. The information is jam-packed, so don't step away.
So excited. Let's go ahead and get this started.
Carmen, I'm so excited to have you on the show today. I've heard that you've gone through quite a journey about with everything that you've gone through. First, but where are you at in the States?
I'm in the States.
Yeah, in United States.
In the United States. I'm in Seattle, Pacific Northwest.
Okay, so you're in mold country.
Yes.
I'm sure that didn't help a lot.
I think surprisingly, I got bit in Europe.
Oh, did you really? Okay.
Yes.
So, tell me about that. What happened?
So, the symptoms began January of 2014. And I was working as a massage therapist. And one morning I woke up and I realized something is off. And I've had flus before, but when you work with patients, sometimes you think maybe I caught something from somebody. And maybe this is just the nastier one than other ones. But there was almost like a gut feeling that something was deeper than just the flu, despite the fact that I was having flu-like symptoms. About 10 days before, I had an injury, and it was due to poor posture as a massage therapist, and it was in my hip. And then after that, I noticed that my jaw started tightening in the neck muscles in the back of both neck and cervical areas and upper shoulders. They began tightening so bad, it felt like some invisible hand was just grabbing my spine and just crushing it. And I thought, what in the world is going on? Maybe I need a massage from all that work.
You deserve a massage. I mean, that's a lot of energy. I don't know how you guys do it.
Yes, it's a lot of energy, but I loved it. And so when you do something you love, just, you do it.
Yeah.
So, but a particular morning, January 12th, I woke up, I had to go to work, and I just knew it's like something was really odd. I was ghost-like white. I could not believe. And I was so fatigued, walking from the bed to the bathroom was a challenge. And that was odd because I come from rough, tough kind of background. I grew up in Romania and I grew up more the oldest of 12. So we pushed through everything. And
I've had a number of Romanian friends, and they're tough people. You don't want to.
Yeah,
they're willing. I mean, yeah, they're not wusses. I mean, they don't complain about small little things.
No, no. And whenever I had flus before, you know, being a mother of three, you're like, flu? What's that? You just keep going and keep going and keep going. And that was also my personality too, just keep going and keep going. This was something odd. I could almost tell inside of my core that something was off. And just fatigued, joint pain, fever, and yet clammy cold extremities. So I went to work anyway. And my boss took one look at me and said, what's wrong with you? You look really, really, really bad. I said, I don't know what the heck is wrong with me, but something is off. I don't know how I got there. I think it was all autopilot. And she sent me back home. And I crawled in bed. And I had a hard time getting out of bed, which was odd for me because I always push through. I've never been scared of being sick. So that's the kind of human being I've always been, just not scared of sickness. And a day passes, 2, 3, 4, 5. And I was just getting worse and worse. And it was so lethargic that to go to the bathroom was like, it was hard, let's put it that way. So I thought, okay, we need to go to the emergency. Something is seriously wrong.
Yeah.
And not having insurance, as we know it in America, it's not that nice going to the emergency. So we went anyway.
Yeah, I mean, you think twice because you know it's going to be at least a $1,500 bill.
Exactly. Yeah. And you're like, I don't know, I've pushed through before, but I'm like, something is odd and I need to get back to work. And that was the thing that just came, like, I don't want to lose my job. I want to go back to work. So we went to emergency, and that was the first series of multiple emergency trips, misdiagnoses, so on and so forth, and just me getting worse and worse and worse to the point it was concerning. And
I'm curious, so you come in this state, yeah, you're pain, you're fatigued, you can barely go to the bathroom, and you go to the ER. I'm really curious, what did they say? I mean, with their kind of knowing ER doctors, you know, what did they say?
Well, first ER doctor diagnosed me with bronchitis. And I was like, yeah, I don't think so because I've never coughed. So I have not once coughed. So yeah, I don't think so. But he persisted putting me on some antibiotic. And I thought, well, okay. Well, I wasn't getting better on antibiotics.
No.
In fact, I was getting worse. I go again with 101.4 fever, I think. And I mean, clearly something was wrong. And they do x-rays this time to this different doctor, and they say, no, you never had bronchitis. I'm like, yeah, I know. But we don't know what you have. You know, they tested me for this, that, and the other, and they said, you may have a viral infection, but there's nothing I can do. I'm sorry, go home. And then we got insurance, and then I started to go to all kinds of tests. And because there were symptoms and they could see the symptoms, rash from head to toe, big time rash. I'm like, I'm not making this stuff up. And they, meaning the doctors, started looking into it, test after test after test after test. And then now we moved into specialists, especially neurologists, because I kept having these shakes, seizure-like activity. And yet from a neurological point of view, they were like, everything looks good in the brain. We don't know what this is going on, you know, what this is. Then eventually down the line, I asked my family doctor, I'm like, okay, fine. All my organs look good because we checked all of them. I bet this is an autoimmune issue. which she just kind of looked at me scared, kind of like, oh my gosh, don't tell me about that. And I'm like, yeah, I know what that means, because there's not enough information in the Western medicine to be able to deal with autoimmune issues. I just heard about Lyme disease before I went to the doctor and asked her to do the test for Lyme disease. And she said, well, why? Because we live in the Pacific Northwest. And I kind of felt like saying, so what are you saying? There are no deers or forests in the Pacific yeah. Northwest? Yeah. Like, what is the deal here?
No ticks, but no flies.
Exactly.
No.
I'm like, there's no mosquitoes, there's no ticks.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, but because I, the previous summer I went to Europe, and I told her, and I said, well, I went to Europe. And she's like, okay, well, let's do this. Sure enough, it came back positive by the Western blot. And she called me home and she said, you're positive for Lyme disease. In my naive mind, I thought, oh, excellent. 7 days of antibiotics and I'm good to go. At this point, I lost my job, not because I couldn't walk and I was living in bed at this point. So they're like, okay, doxycycline, which I think I took it for 10 days. And I got slightly better.
So you weren't cured after 7 days?
Oh, no.
I'm shocked.
I got I know. I got slightly better, and I just thought, oh, my gosh, great. So we went out with some friends, which we haven't done that in forever. And the very next day, I ended up in ER with neurological seizure symptoms. And from that point on, I just got worse and worse and worse.
So tell me, what did that look like, the neurological seizures, you know, for people out there that may be experiencing similar things?
So palsy, Bell palsy, I think. It's the paralysis and my right face, okay. It just kind of drooped. I couldn't move it. I couldn't do anything. I could not walk in a straight line if I wanted to. I kept knocking into walls. It's hard, you know, to go back. I'm like, dang it. I love listening to everybody else's story. And when you have to tell your own, you're like, wow, this is tough going back.
Because you were there, and I mean, you have your children, you need to kind of support them. You wanted to
children,
work.
Exactly. Yeah. And I could no longer talk and put words in the proper order in a sentence. They would be in the wrong order, and I would just say something and stop and think, I don't think that's right, but I can't figure out how to put them in the right order. I would talk and then I would stop suddenly because I could not remember the next word. And I mean, regular words they use every day. I remember one time it was egg, and I remember my brain actually spelling it and telling myself, just say it out loud. And I could not. It was as if something in between my brain and my mouth was disconnected and it just would not work. Then after that, my family would talk to me and I would see them moving their lips, but I didn't quite grasp what they were trying to tell me. There were sounds, you know, coming out, and there was noise, and I'm like, they're trying to communicate with me, but I don't know what they're saying.
And in your mind, you could kind of formulate words in your mind, meaning that you had kind of clear thinking pattern, but you couldn't really interpret the external?
Once in a while, I would have a clear pattern in my my mind. But yes, I could not just say it out loud. But at times, I was also confused. So it wasn't all the time like that, just, you know, intermittent. So, but yeah, there were times where I was aware of what's happening and there's nothing I could do about it. And I thought, oh my gosh, I am dying and I can't even express the frustration that I feel of what's going on. And it got really, really bad.
That's scary.
You know, the least.
I mean, that
very scary.
Yeah, the loss of control. I mean, it's one thing when you are in pain and you can't move, but you can at least and have the ability to communicate your needs and communicate and relate to your environment in some way.
But exactly.
Then to be completely disconnected and kind of being shut in prison within yourself, so to say.
Exactly. That's exactly how I felt. I really was shut inside. And I remember things that used to work for me, like, pull yourself together, Carmen. Just go through this. Just do this. Just... it just wouldn't work this time. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what is going on? And I remember making food, for example, like cooking. That was unbelievably challenging because it's a multiple step, you know, and I could only focus on one thing at a time, and I would do something like whatever, put something together, like a meal, and I would put one ingredient, and then I would stop, and I couldn't remember if I put the ingredient in or not. And I was like, what was I doing? Where was I at? You know, so it's very, it was impossible to cook. And I've heard, you know, how it is. It's like you heard of, you know, you hear all these kind of stories of other people going through something similar, but when it happens to you, you're like in such a shock, and it's like, wait a minute, no, wait a minute, these are only in the books, usually the bestseller books or a documentary, not me.
Because you take it so for granted that I can just kind of push through this. I'll just gotta buckle down. Yeah. And don't be lazy. I can just get through this. I've done this before. And then all of a sudden, all of that, whatever that is to be able to do that, it's just not there no matter what. I mean, it's so
no
far
longer,
away. Yeah.
Exactly. It no longer works. What used to work, it no longer works. And it's such a new territory that first of all, I've never heard of Lyme disease before, a week before I asked for the test. And when she, you know, when she came back, when the doctor came back and says, yes, it's positive, we started researching. Okay, what is this, you know, Lyme disease? It was even hard to research because I would read the same sentence 100 times. And by mid-sentence, I would forget how the sentence started. And it was just so frustrating. So, yeah, neurologically, it became really, really bad in that regard. So, and we realized that Western medicine kind of folded their arms and they're like, yeah, we don't know what to do with you. You know, we're sorry, you're just an unfortunate case. So we had to look and shift our perspective towards more naturopathic, you know, medicine, which is how I got better.
So you worked with your doctor, you did the 7-day treatment and
I think it was like a 10-day doxycycline antibiotic treatment.
And yeah, we figured out it didn't cure it. And so at that point they just gave up, or what were they trying at that point?
They gave up.
They gave up. Okay.
They gave up. And it wasn't just that it didn't cure me. It triggered something that it made all the neurological symptoms.
Yeah,
that much worse.
Express himself.
Because I didn't have seizures before. I was walking just fine, and I could no longer drive because I went peripherally blind, and my eyes would shift once in a while to a certain point up in the sky somewhere, and I couldn't bring them back to where I wanted to look, and I kept telling my brain, bring them back. You did it before. You can do it again. Bring them back. You know, focus. Look at your husband. And I couldn't do it. And no matter what I told myself, I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And I thought, dang it, I'm dying. And I didn't even do all the fun stuff I wanted to because I was a mom. And I wanted, you know, I just kind of focused on being a mom and being a wife. And I was frustrated with my body because I ate organic. I cooked about 90% of my meals. I exercised. So when this happens, it's like even more frustrating because it's like, okay.
I'm doing all the right things.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm doing the right things.
Yeah.
Why? Why is this happening? I don't understand. And so then we looked at a naturopathic approach, and that slowly got me better. And when I say slowly, I mean years, because this is back in 2014. This is the first year I have not visited the ER. So I'm like, yay.
Little gold star right there.
I know. So, but there were a lot of IVs, a lot of tests. That's when I found out I had co-infections such as Babesia, Bartonella, Mycoplasma.
And how did you find all of this out? I mean, how did they figure all that out?
Through blood tests, but it was the naturopathic way. It was more extensive kind of testing, not covered by the insurance. Mm-hmm. So I feel like if things are not covered by the insurance, you can actually find the truth of what's really going on in your body.
And I'm wondering if they're kind of doing it that way on purpose because they know that chronic disease costs a lot
to
deal with. So let's not have tests where you can figure these things out, because then we don't have to treat it because it's not been diagnosed.
Exactly. So it was so obvious. I mean, I was having seizure at the neurologist office. This is Western medicine. That lasted for about 4 hours. These movements. They were looking right at me, and they're like, "Yeah, we don't know what this is. Go home." And they're asking me to drink, your electrolytes are out of whack. And like, when your electrolytes are out of whack, do you do this? So please don't come to me with this kind of stuff. So, I have come to the conclusion that healing from chronic Lyme with multiple co-infections is really like knocking down one co-infections at the time, and just keep moving forward until you're like, okay, I'm good. And I'm still moving forward. The interesting thing is I think I got bit when I was about 12 years old back in Romania.
Oh, really?
Yes, because now that I know way more about Lyme, reading and researching, I realized, oh my gosh, I had symptoms from way back. Mm-hmm. However, I was functional in a dysfunctional sort of way, type of thing.
Yeah, we all think we have our quirks, you know, that
and exactly. Because everybody was like, well, you're just a little sensitive, a little frail. And looking back, I had a severe fever one time that put me in an unconscious state for 3 to 4 days, day and night. I didn't, wake up. I was never really taken to the doctor. So I got better. So, you move on and you push through. But from that point on, I realized, I was fainting often. I had anxiety issues often. I had panic attacks, often. Before that, I didn't. Then it resurfaced again. I call it the three stage. So the second stage, it resurfaced again around 2002 due to, I believe, trauma of both of having my third pregnancy, but one of my little brother passed out, and it was at the same time. So I think it was just too much. And these guys go and hide in cyst format, the Borrelia, the Lyme disease, disgusting guys, infectious parasites.
Yeah, corkscrews that are inside.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. So, but I have read a few times that trauma usually triggers where they come out of hiding. And that's what I believe happened the third time, which is January of 2014 that we were talking about, due to that hip injury that I had, and might have just kind of got them out of there because they like to hide where in joints, because there's before. And I think because of age, maybe being younger and not yet having the body, not having the wear and tear of childbearing, because that really does take out of you a lot. So I think right now it just, the body kind of went, you know what, I've been fighting for years and I kind of have
enough. Yeah. Yeah, they like that hyaluronic acid in the joints, you know. So
exactly.
Yeah. So yeah, one of the, you know, like Dr. Klinghart, you know, one of the different techniques that he has is that you take hyaluronic acid and you follow that with like cistus, you know, cistus tea or cistus extract or stevia, and so that way you kind of lure them out, you know, because they're going after the hyaluronic, and then you come after with a kill, you know. So One of those kind of fun little strategies, you know. That's, yeah, the hyaluronic acid is a huge amount in skin, so that's why you're aging faster in the joints. That's why the joints are deteriorating. And so, yeah, absolutely. And then, like you said, with the hip injury, then, you know, it can shake them loose a little bit.
Exactly. So I think that's what happened. It just shook them loose, and then they just went wild.
Yeah.
That was that.
Yeah. And so going back then to your naturopathic doctors, you were saying you kind of go and knocking one co-infection after another. Was there like a certain order that he determined or he or she determined that it needed to be done?
So the doctor that I worked with, Dr. Darvish here in Bellevue, Washington, she focuses on strengthening your immune system. Mm-hmm. So she actually went after the co-infections first.
And I know well, you know, we've shared a number of patients. She's a great doctor.
She's a fantastic doctor. Yes. I love her.
Yeah.
So she went after trying to knock out the co-infections, the mold, because I was having like mitochondrial disorder and small things, like I call it small in comparison, like low potassium, not enough of B vitamin, D vitamins, C vitamins in the, you know. So she's working with individually. That's what I like about it, because certain things worked for other Lyme patients but did not work for me. So she's like, okay, we got to try something different until we find something that works for you. And a lot of IVs for 2 years, like once a week, I was going through, you know, IVs and rotating through IV protocol and treatments. And
what kind of IV protocols were they? I mean, what do you remember?
I remember glutathione IV. My body loved that one. And then CoQ10. Myers, I'm not quite sure what that one is, so I'm not sure. But also biooxidative therapy, artesunate IV, hydrogen peroxide, diabetic trace minerals. That's the ones I have, you know, written down on top of the supplements that.
So the oxidative, was that like ozone IV, hyperbaric oxygen chamber?
Yes. Bio-oxidative therapy, ozone combo. Mm-hmm. And that one, I did not respond that well to it. How it went about is they draw a certain portion of your blood out and run it through a machine to clean it. Mm-hmm. you know, to clean the blood and puts it back into your body. And that particular one, I did not respond well. So we end up stopping altogether after, I believe, the third time, you know, and just moved on with everything that worked. So slowly I got better, but really what made a huge difference is me removing my mercury fillings or amalgam fillings. In order to do that, I had to get my body strong enough with the IV treatments to be able to withstand the trauma body goes through, you know, dental work. And mine was extensive because because I was in Romania when Chernobyl happened, and I have collected tons of toxins in my tissue, and my teeth began decaying. And not just mine, all my siblings, everybody I've known, about within months after, you know, Chernobyl happened, our teeth began decaying. So I had, my mouth was full of mercury. So once the first mercury filling was removed, the change was dramatic within 10 minutes.
Really?
Yes, to the point where, without realizing, I started running after my little boy. I moved like a slug up to that point. So that was huge. That was really, really huge. And we had a lot of work done, because I would have to go to do one appointment with the dentist to remove the mercury and then go back to IV to get my body back, you know, strong enough, because I would go into Herxing reaction a lot. So we went back and forth and back and forth for pretty much a whole year. I would say 8 months of this for 1 year. And but after those fillings were gone, that was the biggest impact that I've seen towards healing.
And so, did you go to, I assume she sent you to a biological dentist that did the removal appropriate, and did they kind of test, do the kind of voltage test to see which one to get rid of first?
Their x-rays were way lower in radiation that you receive whenever you get x-rays too. And he is known as removing mercury fillings in the most natural kind of way possible. Again, not covered by insurance. So, but it was worth it. You get to a point where, like, well, I have two options: die, suffer while die, or do something about it.
Yeah.
And then we fought really hard for getting better. And yeah, I would say that those mercury fillings being removed is a huge step towards recovery.
And she, I assume she had a lot of kind of binders on board as well to kind of mop up the heavy metals as
that. I also did chelation via mouth. It's called, I think, DMSA. Mm-hmm. So I took, you know, through the mouth to do chelation, because I had toxins, cells stuck in the tissue, not from the mercury, but only, I mean, not just from the mercury, but also from the pollution of Chernobyl, from the pollution of the fact that the town that I grew up in was built around a steel factory. Oh. So I grew up in an environment of heavy toxicity. Well, I didn't know that was going to affect was going to affect my life later on. And the combination of that and Lyme being rebit, that's what I've been told by multiple naturopathic doctors, that going to Romania, I just got rebit. And the combination and the immune system just thought, you know, just said, oh, just too much.
So you're saying you got bit when you were 12, you believe?
Yes.
And then also when you went back there kind of year prior, you get rebit again.
Exactly.
And that is, you know, and then all of a sudden all these things starting to take place.
Exactly.
Okay. And so So you went through all these different IVs, you went through the different kind of supplements. Was it a certain kind of supplement protocol that you followed, like, you know, Cowden or Byron White protocol, or what was there a certain type of protocol, or she just kind of went and, you know, kind of doing her own thing?
We didn't really follow a protocol. We followed more of what is the most urgent thing right now that we need to take care of, because that's kind of how she approached. And so if it was removal of mold, let's do that. And, you know, getting antimicrobial kind of tinctures and supplementations. And so I've taken so many supplements that's really hard to remember. But one thing that I love that I've taken for probably 20 years, and I found it on my own in one of the local health store, is called Vitamineral Green, and it's done by, Health Force Superfoods. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've heard of that, but I absolutely love that. It comes, you know, either pill or powder format. And because it has chlorella and because it has spirulina, that helps remove the toxins, you know, out of the body too. Plus, you just kind of get your vitamins and minerals more through a plant-based, you know, because I'm not going to be sitting and eating pounds and pounds of salads, but this way I can do it. So I absolutely love that product just for everyday use type of thing.
Yeah, those superfoods are just fantastic to do.
Yes.
No matter what, you know.
And exactly.
And especially with your background with, you know, with Chernobyl, I mean, then these type of algaes, you know, like chlorella, spirulina, they become really powerful in helping to clear out some of that, you know, nuclear waste, so to say, or nuclear exposure.
Exactly. Because if I would have known back then, I know you can take iodine, but I did not know to protect your thyroid gland. But I was a child. I mean, I was a kid.
Yeah, exactly.
So, an adolescent. So, no, we didn't know what was coming. We knew it was coming. There was nothing we can do, and just kind of hope for the best and move on.
So how did she determine, you're saying, that whatever was the most pressing at the moment, that's what we were dealing with? So there had to be a certain way that she was determining that this is what's the most pressing right now. Let's do this.
Yes. So besides looking at the test results, blood test results that comes in, Dr. Darvish, I'm not sure if you know enough, she has an energy way of testing your body, where it's blocked and where it's not. And
is that ART or a muscle testing type of technique? Or is it an electrical device?
I think it's more electrical based. It's still something I don't fully understand myself, but it is, you know, she actually puts her hand on your body and then grabs the hand of somebody else and just sees where things are blocked. And
she like kind of push on their arm, right? See how strong it
is. And, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And then she has these different vials with different substances. And
exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, it's probably what's called ART. It's a technique that I do myself as well.
Oh, awesome.
That stands for autonomic response testing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's good to know because it's been always a mystery to me. I'm like, I don't know what she does, but man, she's good at it.
and it's funny with my patients as well. I mean, it's at the end of the day, kind of like you, you know, I may not understand what you're doing, but I'm getting better. So you
exactly.
Just keep doing what you're doing and we'll yeah, I'm
exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
And I tell all my friends, I'm like, go to her. Well, you know, she does this stuff, and I explain it the way I explain it to you. I'm like, I don't know what exactly it is, but she'll get you better, and that's all that matters.
and usually how I explain, yes, for listeners, is that so what you do is that you apply pressure over nerve endings that relate to different organs, like, you know, the liver, you know, you have nerves that go out to the skin surface, and when you apply pressure on those nerve endings, you create a stress onto that organ. If that organ is healthy, it doesn't bother that organ at all. But if it's barely kind of hanging on, then it's going to go into a stress response. And you can then see that simply by pushing on a person's arm to see if it stays strong or goes weak in response to that additional stress. And yeah, so it is really, and then you can add different vials, you know, that has electromagnetic signatures, like a lime vial or, you know, a mercury vial or, you know, some candida vial or whatever it may be. And then you can see how the nervous system reacts to that also. It's really fascinating. You can even then locate and see where the Lyme is located. Is it in your frontal lobe? Is it in your kidney or liver? Or yeah, it's really cool.
It is super fascinating. I mean, it's fascinating for me to listen, and it's fascinating to watch her do it. And I'm like asking questions. So where is it this time? Where did it go? Where did it get stuck? Please take it out.
Yeah.
So I love it. I'm like, and I always tell her, please keep doing what you're doing, because I would have been dead a long time ago if not for your help. And I love things like the podcast that you're doing too, because I listen to other people's stories. Like I was listening to Bill's story and realizing I think I need to do a parasite cleansing, and things that it refreshes. There's Lyme is so complicated that it's really easy to forget a lot of the steps that you're supposed to do. You know, there's so much work put into it, and I'm like, okay, I've done this, I've done that. Oh yeah, and you hear somebody's story, I'm like, oh yeah, I still need to do that, or I should do that and approach that. And so upon listening to your guys' podcast, I realized, yeah, I think I need to do parasitic cleansing. And I love that, because that's how we learn. That's how we get refreshed. That's how things are being reminded, you know, for the people that are fighting, because it's so complicated. And especially if you have a lot of co-infections to deal with, it's so complicated. And it's not a 1, 2, 3 thing. Some supplements that used to work at the beginning no longer work. Now I need to move, you know, to something different. It's just constantly evolving, constantly growing. And you have to kind of be on top of everything. And to be on top, you have to constantly research, learn, and be surrounded by other people that they've been there. I'm like, okay, this is what works for me. Okay, I'll try it. And I hope it works for me as well. Yeah. So I love that.
Well, thank you. And yeah, and what's important, I think, for listeners, and I know you understand this yourself, is that it's not like Lyme is just a little, you know, inanimated object just laying on a street and you can just pluck it out and throw it away. You know, it is something that is highly intelligent, highly adaptive, and working with your system. I mean, it has it's hijacking your system and try to figure out what it needs to do and in your system to increase its own survival. So that's what makes it so complicated and so challenging. And it's not just one bug that's doing that. It's not just the Lyme bug, it's all the co-infections like you're talking about.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it's all these things.
I think if I just had Lyme alone, I would have not had the hardest time that I did. I think the co-infections caused far more damage than the Lyme by itself, based on just the side effects. I mean, not the side effects, but the list of symptoms that I have experienced is very, very long. And if anybody wants to, you know, see more things in detail, I do have a blog that I have put everything there.
Yeah, tell me about that so people know where to go.
Yes, it's called CarmenMcKnight.blog, and that's CarmenMcKnight.blog. And the reason I started that more for my own sake, because I was forgetting everything so fast that I thought there's no way I'll remember this. So I started that blog so I would remember what did I have done? What treatment did I do? When was this? What doctors did I see? And it's become, for me, so helpful because I go back and I'm like, okay, this is what I did, and this is what worked, and this is what didn't work. Or, but it can help other people to see, okay, this is the struggle. This is a serious thing. And another thing that I wanted to mention is my husband and I are working on a documentary called Beating Line.
Oh, cool.
Yes. And why we're doing this, when I was sick, I remember watching on YouTube a documentary on ME, chronic fatigue syndrome, of which I was also diagnosed last year by a specialist, endocrinologist, I believe. And I just remember one of the patient and young man suffering in bed that made such an impact on me that I thought, when I get better, because I was like, I'm fighting this. Like, if I'm going out, I'm going out fighting. I'm not going to sit around and be beaten down. I'm like, I'm fighting this.
I'm Romanian. I'm fighter.
Exactly. I'm like, no, we're not. I'm not. There's no surrender. I'm like, I don't even know that name. I mean, the word meaning. Yeah. I'm like, no, there's no surrender. I'm fighting. Even if I go out of this world, I'm going to go out fighting. But watching this documentary, I just thought, man, if I ever get better, I'm going to make a documentary of how important it is. The support system for me was far more important. I would say the support system was number one, then the medicine. Because you can have the right medicine, but if people just tend to kind of brush you aside, as which I have been brushed aside over and over and over, they look and I would get this, oh, you look fine. There's nothing. I don't think there's anything wrong. You look fine. I think you just are wanting attention. And I'm like, I wish I could just unzip my body and open it to you and see what's really going on. And for you to just really understand the amount of pain that I'm going day in and day out. I don't take breaks, you know, going to work, you know, you take a break, you come back at 5 and you're done. With this, you don't have the option to say, yeah, I've had enough. You just keep going and you have to go or give up. And I didn't want to give up, but the support system was very important in my battle and of fighting and pushing when you feel like just wanting to give up. I'm like, I'm just tired of pain. I remember being in pain for 2 weeks straight. And I remember praying and thinking, God, I think I'm going to lose my mind. That's how much pain I have in my body right now for 2 weeks straight. And I can't take it anymore. And CBD helped with that.
Good. CBD is powerful. Yeah, I have my dear friend, Dr. Judy Mikovits. Yeah, she's a big proponent. So on my other radio show that I have, Health Made Radio, interviewing her about CBD and all the amazing things that it does in your brain, neurological, immune system. It's incredible. So it's a powerful tool.
Yes. And that was before it was legal here in the Washington state. So I've never smoked or taking any kind of drug. So I'm like, how do you go find CBD? I felt like, okay, I have to be a smuggler or what?
So on a street corner somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah. I had to go ask teenagers, you know, how do you, you know, I kind of need, I'm like, I feel like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm so just not in this area. I mean, like, not an expert in this area. And then I found some kind of candy that I'm like, I don't want to get high. That is not what I want. I just want the pain to stop because it's just too much. And then it became legal. And then now I can do the oil that doesn't, you know, the hallucination part is taken out and it's just for pain only. And that really, really, really helped.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah.
Well, Carmen, thank you so much. I really appreciate you sharing all of this. And I'm really excited to watch a documentary when it comes out. I mean,
that's thank you. Yes.
When are you thinking that it will be available?
Well, the deadline originally was at the end of September, but we still have two more interviews to do by the end of this week. So you know how it is. You have a deadline and then you try to make it, and sometimes you have to push it, but you know, because there will be editing involved and that's going to be quite a bit, and structural, you know, putting the whole thing, kind of creating the story. So we're shooting for the end of September, but it could be pushed, you know, the deadline might be moved, you know, maybe a couple of weeks, but we're shooting for the end of September.
And, yes. And where would they go to your blog to find that, or a certain other location
yes,
that you have?
I will put a link on my blog, and I already have a couple of blogs putting a link to the YouTube first trailer. We'll do more, you know, probably there will be another trailer done now that we have more footage to work with. And it's on YouTube as well, called Beating Lyme. And it will be on YouTube, and we're going to try to work with Netflix to try to get it on Netflix or any other social media. And so we can help other people, because I know any documentary that I watch, it helps me. So I can only imagine other people being helped as well.
Well, I love this. Thank you so much, Carmen. I really appreciate this.
Thank you so much for having me, Doctor.
Thank you.
The information in this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not designed to diagnose or treat any disease. I hope this podcast impacted you as it did me. Please subscribe so that you can be notified when new episodes are released. There are some excellent shows coming up that you do not want to miss. If you're enjoying these podcasts, please take a moment to write a review, and please don't keep this information to yourself. Share them with your family and friends. You never know what piece of information that will transform their lives. For past episodes and powerful information on how to conquer Lyme, go to integrativelymesolutions.com, and an additional powerful resource, limestream.com. For Lyme support and group discussions, join Tanya on Facebook at Lyme Conquerors Mentoring Lyme Warriors. If you'd like to know more about the cutting-edge integrative Lyme therapies my center offers, please visit thecarlfeldcenter.com. Thank you for spending this time with us, and I hope to see you at our next episode of Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Carlfeld.